So good afternoon, everyone. We have a few minutes before we're getting started, but I just wanted to, first of all, welcome everyone. See people waving from the nosebleed seats. I called out the nosebleed seats in particular because we can't hit you from there. And in most sessions, this would probably be a good thing, but we do have a few boxes with soft, desirable items in them, which at various points throughout this hour, we will be throwing as hard as we can at the people that we can see. If you would like to be one of those people that receives one of these soft, desirable objects, definitely please move forward. There's plenty of seats up front, which is usually not the case at a BI Power Hour, but please come on up. We would love to see you more closely. And as a word of warning, please be aware that in some technical sessions, you pay really close attention and there's so much information you leave with a headache. In this session, if you don't pay close enough attention, you may well be leaving in a headache because it's not just information that will be flying at you. So consider yourself welcomed and consider yourself warned.
Say we give them handfuls rather than boxes. We're going to do real introductions before the individual demos. Stand wherever you're comfortable. Grab a seat in the front if that's if that works for you. So be where you'd like to be. We are live. It is 1:30.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are ready to get started. I want to start off with a brief show of hands. You know, this is a BI session. We are data people. We live and die by the numbers. So let me see a show of hands for people who have been at BI Power Hour sessions in the past.
Wow.
So we're maybe 60%, maybe a little bit less than that, but that's a pretty good number. How many people were in the session that Matt and I did yesterday afternoon? All right, I'm going to make the exact same jokes today. You guys may actually want to leave now. I apologize for that. But the BI Power Hour is actually a very special session. This is something that we've been doing for 5 years,
yeah,
6 years,
that.
Something along those lines. It's really, in many ways, a stupid BI tricks session. If you guys remember David Letterman from back when we were younger than we are now, there's pretty much one thing that you can take for granted. That's that there's going to be demos. We are going to show you our BI tools doing things that you never thought that the BI tools could do. And even more specific than that, we're going to show you the BI tools doing things that the people who built the BI tools never thought that the BI tools would do. We guarantee that you will not learn anything useful in this session. When you leave here, you will not be empowered to manage a data center. You will not be empowered to scale into big data in the cloud. You will not be empowered to be a more productive developer. And if you happen to learn anything, my animations are messed up, look at this. More demos, there we go. If you happen to accidentally learn something during the session, we cannot be held responsible for this. We'll apologize for this in advance. So if any accidental learning does take place, our apologies. But the key thing is we're going to have as much fun as possible throughout the hour. Does anyone know the most special thing about the BI Power Hour? It lasts 75 minutes. Who said that? Raise your hand, sir. I will throw this gently. If you are further back, I would try to wound or maim, but there we go. So the BI Power Hour is perhaps the only hour that you will have today that lasts for 75 minutes. By way of introductions, my name is Matthew Roach. I'm a senior program manager on the SQL Server team. I've been working for Microsoft for about 5 years. Before I worked for Microsoft, I was a BI consultant using all of these tools. It's really awesome to be on the team, and it's really awesome to be part of this session. I remember attending my first BI Power Hour, where Donald Farmer did his classic data mining the Oracle price list session, and it was one of those things that just inspired me to not work with Oracle anymore. But when I interviewed on the SQL Server team, one of the questions that gets asked, you know, an interview loop at Microsoft is a day of interview after interview after interview. It's like an hour after hour after hour, and different people each hour is. And the as appropriate interviewer, so basically they decided that they were going to give me the job already, but there's the extra hour where they have someone who's pretty high up in the food chain to come in and ask questions which aren't directly applicable to how well you're going to do the job for which you're interviewing. And my as appropriate asked, you know, what are you going to bring to the team? What, you know, what role do you want to play? How do you see yourself making a big difference on the team? And I said, and this is not a joke, this is a true story, and if Denise were here, she would back me up on this. I said, I want to be the new Donald Farmer on the team, because he wasn't working on integration services anymore. And she said, well, how so? And I said, well, I can't do a Scottish accent, but I'm growing my hair, and I'll grow a beard if you need me to. And look at where I am today. So I'm going to let Matt introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Matt Mason. I've been doing the Power Hour for a little while. And I actually wanted to start off with a quick review, kind of give you guys a taste of the Power Hour. Because every year we get, you know, one of the questions is, did you learn anything? Or, you know, you rate. And every year we get complaints, did not learn anything. And we're telling you now, you will not learn anything, but you're here to be entertained. This session is more about entertainment rather than education. So just as a quick taste of what you'll see today. So my first Power Hour was actually when last time TechEd was here, it was in 2010. And traditionally, the integration services product, the product that I work on, was not included in the Power Hours. The organizer said, because SSIS is boring. You can't do anything interesting with it. It's not flashy like PowerView and things like that. And so I wanted to set out and really prove them wrong. Okay? And at the time, I was really big into Facebook. So here's actually a screenshot of my Facebook page from the time. This is me as a druid from my LARPing days. I was one of the cool kids in high school, or at least one of the cool druids. And I do interesting things. I post things about, you know, the thing I was always eating and watching on TV. I take pictures of my food and post it on Facebook, you know, all the standard stuff. I had a couple of thousand pictures of my cat, Mr. Wiggles, because Mr. Wiggles is the craziest cat, and I love posting stories about the things he do, because what everybody loves to do, of course, is read stories about other people's cats on the internet, right? That's what everybody loves.
That's true.
And I had one major problem, and that I had no friends. No one would accept my friend request. Not even the former druids from my guild would acknowledge my friend request. So this used to get me really sad, but I realized, you know, I'm a programmer. What do I need real friends for when I can create them programmatically, right? So I decided to solve my Facebook problems and my Power Hour demo problems at the same time. So what I did that year was I created Facebook connectors for SSIS. I had a source that went out and downloaded my status updates. I had an advanced chat transform that would generate comments, and then a destination that would post them back up to make it feel like I had friends, right? Okay, all pretty standard stuff. I'm sure most of you guys have done this yourselves, okay? Now, this demo had a very interesting side effect. Okay? I got bombarded with friend requests. I had tons of people coming out to me the next day offering to be my friend. I'm sure it's because they were so impressed, and it wasn't because they felt sorry for me. But my life basically changed overnight, right? I started hanging out with, I started having all these friends. I basically went from hanging out in my apartment every night with Mr. Wiggles to going to parties almost every single night with Mr. Wiggles. And really, it was a big adjustment, okay? And so the following year, what I ended up doing was creating a set of SSIS packages that formed an enterprise information management solution to manage my social life. Okay. And I used all the technologies in SQL Server 2012 to do this. So this is one of my packages. This is my friend request processor. Because I had so many friends, Facebook emailed me and said I was slowing down their system. And they capped me at 5,000 friends. So to add a new friend, I'd actually have to bump somebody off my list. So I had this special logic here, and a special script that would analyze the profiler, because me and Mr. Wiggles are really selective over who we hang out with, so we only accept other cat lovers. If they didn't make the cut, I'd send them down to my MySpace destination over there on the left. Otherwise, I'd accept them, And they go to my Facebook destination, and yeah, so that was my friend request processor. The other main package that I used was my social life manager. So here I would, you know, say I'm traveling around, right, and I post like, what's going on tonight, dogs, using the cool spelling of dogs so people know I'm ready to party down. And I get flooded with different responses like, oh, I'm going to Bourbon Street, please come out and hang out with me. I'm going to the casino, you know, please come out and hang with us. And so I get all these responses back, and I process that with SSIS, and I pass them through Stream Insight. I do lookups against master data services, against my master friends list. I pass them through data quality services. Basically, I tie together the entire SQL 2012 EIM stack to manage my social life. Again, all pretty standard stuff. I'm sure most of you guys have done something similar.
We were actually thinking about repackaging this and selling it as the starter, a social life starter kit. Sadly, when we opened up the TAMP program to see what early adopters would like to help us work with this and build it out, we didn't get any responses, so we had to kill that one for SQL 2014.
That was very unfortunate. So that was a couple years ago. After that, you know, I'm sure you guys know, but tech ed presenters, we're all like rock stars, right? We live these rock star lifestyles. There's parties, there's groupies, there's free t-shirts.
Wait, free t-shirts?
Yes,
free t-shirts. He said free t-shirts. Free t-shirts for you, and free t-shirts for you, and for you, and you guys can help for you. Free t-shirts for everyone.
Yes, so this this rockstar lifestyle is really fun at first, but it gets a bit lonely. Whoa, don't trip over my... Okay, I don't think our insurance covers accidents on stage, so...
Rockstars hurt themselves all the time.
Okay, yes, true to the rockstar lifestyle. So yes, the rockstar lifestyle can get a bit lonely, right? It's hard to meet people. And so last year, my business manager was really pushing me to meet that special someone.
You mean your mom, right?
My mom was really pushing me to meet that special someone. And so I tried online dating. And my first attempt wasn't that great. This is actually my first profile. And... I don't know. And so what I did was I showed how I could use business intelligence to improve my online profile. So I used business intelligence in a non-business environment just to make better decisions, right? So I did analysis of different online profiles, see which ones get the most messages. Okay, so I used BI to go from this to this, right? Now, keep in mind, I got lots of messages and responses to this, but it wasn't quite what I was looking for. So anyways, with this updated improved profile, I ended up doing a lot better. Now, to process all those messages, I built an SSIS package that would process these things, right? Some custom SSIS stuff here. I'm extending the SSIS platform. And I basically download my matches, do my own processing on it, and you know, I want to apply my own algorithms. And then I could interactively pop up a display and see the match, right? And then select. And so some of my matches, like this worked better sometimes than others, and in general, it was kind of hit and miss. Okay, now that was give you an idea of what we do in the Power Hour and stuff. But I wanted to come clean and actually tell you that what you just saw was all a story. It wasn't actually true. In real life, I'm actually married and I have 4 kids. So, you know, it wasn't actually true. It was mostly made up.
What about Mr. Wiggles?
Mr. Wiggles, I know people get upset. Mr. Wiggles is not my cat.
I'm actually
allergic to cats. I don't own a cat. I'm not a big fan of cats in real life, actually. So my wife likes to say that I probably would have ended up that way if I hadn't met her, and she's probably right there. But anyways, so what I wanted to... The reason why I wanted to come clean and tell you is because I actually have a real-life story to tell involving my oldest son, Owen. Okay, Owen's 7, and he had to do a project about what his dad does for work. Okay, so he came and asked me, and I said, well, you know, I work for Microsoft. What do you think I do? And so he said, well, you make the Xbox. I said, well, no, that's another team. I don't make the Xbox. And he's like, whoa, okay, well, you make the Surface, right? His 2 favorite things. Like, no, I don't make the Surface. And I could tell he was a bit disappointed. So I showed him some of my PowerPoint presentations. He loved Mr. Wiggles. He was impressed with Mr. Wiggles, and I, of course. And then I wanted to explain business intelligence to him, right? I wanted to explain that, so I told him, I make applications that help people make better decisions. And he's thinking about it, and he's like, you mean like apps on the iPad? I was like, yeah, kind of like apps on the iPad, but even better. And I could tell he was really impressed with that.
How does your son know about the iPad?
I don't know, his friends must have told him about the iPad or something. We definitely don't own an iPad.
We're going to have to talk to his friends.
Or anything like that. Yeah, I know, his friends are bad influences. So what I wanted to do was actually build a BI application so he'd understand. So I asked him, what do you want to know more about? Now, anybody with kids in this age range might have heard of a toy called Skylanders. Any Skylander parents out there? Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Skylanders is a video game. It has this little portal thing, and you can buy these Skylanders figures, put the figures on the portal, and they appear in the game. And you can unlock different areas of the video game by buying these separate figures. And there's like 50 different figures that you can buy. That you can buy for $10 to $15 a shot, right? Great deal for the parents. But my kid absolutely loves them, right? He talks about them with his friends. He writes Skylanders fan fiction. He's only seven.
So when I think fan fiction, I think Spock and Kirk, and it goes downhill from there?
Yeah, no. So his fan fiction is a bit more PG.
Okay.
But I asked him, so what do you want to know more about? And he said, of course, Skylanders. He wants to make better decisions about Skylanders. So I built him a Skylanders application. Okay, so let me just show that real fast. Let me try that again. Exit out of this. Now is it showing? No, it is not showing.
Looks like you're extending.
Okay, let's try.
Yeah, you may need to.
This. Haha, you guys can see it now. Okay. So to build a BI application, of course, I needed a data set. So I went to Bing and started Googling around about Skylanders. And I couldn't find a pre-existing Skylander database, but I did find a Skylanders wiki. And so I decided to grab the data from the wiki. So what I did was I wrote an SSIS package. This is a script component in the middle, and it goes out to the wiki and grabs all the information I need, right? Because SSIS, you can extend. You can embed .NET code. You can do lots of different things with the SSIS platform. I grab all the data I need, and I put it into a back-end SQL Server database. From here, I then import all that into Excel. And now let me bring up my Excel window and bring that over here. Let me show you Power Pivot too. And Power Pivot. So what I did was from a Power Pivot in Excel, so it's built into Excel 2013, I imported all that data in, I built a Power Pivot model over it, and then I used Power View to create a BI application for my son. Okay, so it didn't come up. Sorry about that. Is it on the screen? Yeah. Okay. So this is my power, and so I can click on the different Skylanders. I can see, you know, different information. I can list the powers down here, right? I can switch elements and drill through to different elements and see all the different Skylanders there. And I gave this to my son, and he spent an hour going through and clicking and seeing all this information. He absolutely loved it. He was absolutely blown away. The first time I think I really impressed him with what I do for work. Okay.
And if he's seven now, I have kids that are older than Matt's kids are. I have to say that impressing your son at seven is easy. Wait a couple years, you will never do it again.
Okay.
Although perhaps this can be like the driving force for the BI tools in future versions, because we always have themes for the releases as we're coming out with them. Maybe impressing Owen as he gets older. When he's a teenager, that's going to be a pretty high bar.
So it would be interesting, because I'm calling this Impressing Your Kids with BI. It would be interesting to see what impresses them year after year after year. It would be interesting. Okay, so a week ago, we had the parent-teacher interview, and so I actually got to see my son's final presentation, right, a summary of what his dad does, and he drew a picture. And so this was his whole takeaway from our day of going over what I do. First, I talk about cats. This is his drawing saying cats are cool. This is me presenting to an audience. And his other takeaway is that I play with Skylanders all day. Still, he thinks my job is really, really cool. And that's it for me. Thanks.
These two will help with the show if you guys can. This is why I've been working out for the past 6 months. Chuck doesn't need to.
So we're going to be switching speakers. While we're switching speakers, we will be distributing t-shirts pretty much randomly. If we miss you today, be aware that we will probably not miss you tomorrow, no matter how patient you are, or no matter how you dodge on the road as we move forward. So our next two presenters are actually not on the SQL Server team. Stasia and Joe are SQL Server MVPs. These guys are consultants, authors, bloggers, writers, people who are out there building real-world solutions using the SQL Server tools, the BI tools. These are the guys who understand what it takes to get the job done day after day. And honestly, I've seen amazing things that these guys have done with our tools. Joe, is your mic on?
I don't think it is.
For the gentleman on the soundboard, could we get lav number 3 turned on, please?
Testing? Cool.
Thank you very much. So Stasia and Joe, Stacia.
Stacia, and she's tight about that.
I'm horrible with names, so people call me Matt, and I don't listen because he's Matt and I'm Matthew, so Stacia is going to kick me after the... Stacia. If you guys could see the evil vibes,
I'm
going to call them S and J from this point on, so...
So the funny thing is like people have known me for years, but they don't always call me by name. They just see it.
It's because they're afraid.
I'm afraid.
I'm never going to do it again.
Be afraid.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
good.
So one of the things that I love about the Power Hour is that as the MC, I don't get to see the demos before they're done. So we've talked about things, but you know, Matt's Skylanders and. I think that Casper is doing something about travel or reptile. I'm not sure exactly what
it
is.
He's on a plane, I think.
But you guys travel a lot as consultants, right? You guys are flying around all the time. How do you pass your time when you're on the road?
I usually work.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's...
Well, let's not talk about that. What are you going to talk about today?
Well, I have an application that we built. Now, I've been going to BI Power Hour for years, and when Donald Farmer left, you know, and you do make a, you know, pretty reasonable replacement here.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, we were very concerned about, you know, making the legacy live on. And so now there's this game that we play in the community. Now, how many people are on Twitter, by the way? Okay, fair amount.
How many people are a member of SQL Pass?
Even
how many
fewer.
People raised their hands already once today?
Okay. So we in the SQL community have this thing we call SQL Family. So we're on Twitter, and we often communicate with one another. It's a really fabulous way to stay connected and find out what people are eating for breakfast and, you know.
How far I rode my bike that day.
How far he rode his bike.
Do you get pictures of cats as well?
Sometimes. I think we have.
I unfriend those people.
Are they real cats, though? Because I know someone that I'll be unfriending once I get back to my phone.
Yeah. Yes. So, now, Joey and I presented at the PASS Business Analytics Conference in Chicago in April, and I did not go to this particular session, but there was this analysis done of Twitter feeds, and it was this random analysis of SQL Family. I am the queen of SQL Family. Thank you. Just so you know. So if you're a member of the SQL community in general, I encourage you to be on Twitter. It's a great place to get to know our fellow SQL folks. So now, with that in mind about SQL Family, the other thing that we do, who travel a lot, we all have smartphones of some sort of another. Who's heard of Words with Friends?
Okay. I got kicked off a plane for playing that one time.
No, that was Alec Baldwin.
I like to think of myself as Alec Baldwin.
I bet you do. Okay. So, so there's this competition that goes on amongst those of us who play Words with Friends. Some of us who are authors even like to get a little more competitive about the words that we know. So there are certain people who have reputations about being very difficult to win against. Aaron Bertrand would be one. Chris Webb would be another.
Yeah.
Rob Farley would be another. Now, I can't remember about Aaron, but I have beaten Chris and I have beaten Rob just once. That's all I needed.
Was it because they mispronounced your name?
Probably.
I know how you win these games, too, but we'll talk more about that later.
Okay, so what we did is we said, okay, we got this BI Power Hour thing. We didn't know what was going to happen when Donald left. We have this legacy to live on. We have SQL Family. We have Words with Friends. I know. I'm an expert in reporting services, and what we're going to do is we're going to create a game around all of this. So I invited my friend Joey. I said, you got to learn this game with me, so I have to have somebody to play with here. So, Joey, will you start?
Yeah, I went ahead and started.
Okay, so this is Report Manager, and so he's actually started. We have to kind of flip back and forth. You're number three. So Joey has started, and when he starts this game, it welcomes him to Words with SQL Family. And so now he's entered in the game. He has to wait for somebody else to play with until he can actually get started with. So
hopefully I have some friends.
Hopefully you have. I'll be your friend.
All right, cool.
Okay. So, so on my machine, I can go into Report Manager, and I can start a new game, and it looks to see, is there anybody out there that is ready to play? And oh, look, it's Joey. So we both get started. I'm going to click on my screen, and I will flip over to Joey's screen. Now, I'm not going to look at his words or
and
his letters.
Now I click here, and I play against Stacia, and I'm going to have a set of tiles loaded up.
I'm not looking.
And these are some words. Let's see. I've written a lot of T-SQL in my life. I think I can figure this one out. So I click on the tile. And then I click on the slot in the grid where I want to place it. So here I'm going to place this S in 1 and 5.
I guess I can't listen
either.
He's saying
it out loud.
Yeah.
It's interesting to note from a performance perspective that we have not yet optimized the reporting services rendering engine for Words with Friends or for Words with SQL Family.
Is that coming in 2014?
I think it's in 2014, Service Pack 1. I don't think it made the cut for GA.
Ah, damn.
S-E-L-E. I know this one.
Is there an asterisk tile?
You know, we have blanks, but you don't have one, do you?
No.
And besides, we'd use the percent symbol. There. I went there on stage. I'm sorry.
So then I'm going to hit the score button, and it's going to calculate my score for this word, which was select. And I got 18 points, so not bad for my first word. We have multipliers in the grid, and I was able to take advantage of some of those. And now I'm not going to look while
Stacia. Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Okay. I can go. So.
I had no idea you could do this.
I know, isn't it amazing? So, now, I'm on my screen. I don't know that Joey's played. I have to press the refresh button to see what he's done, and I go, okay. So, well, you know what?
You have dirts.
I have dirts. Do I have some dirt? Okay, now, I'm inspired by the whole reason why we are here. And, you know, our vocabulary is a little bit flexible.
Can get T-shirts?
I could get T-shirts, but no, where are we? What event are we attending?
BI. Oh, Tech Ed.
Tech Ed.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, Tech Ed. So, normally you think of reporting services as just being a reporting application, right? But we've turned it into a whole app, where we have these tiles, these images, clickable things. We're making things happen.
I'll bet that Matt is thinking about how he can play this with his fictional girlfriends now.
Uh-huh.
Wait, are they all girlfriends?
Okay. Yeah. So when I'm done, I just press the score button, and it calculates my score. I've only got 13. Back to you, Joey.
Okay, I'm looking at my tiles, and last Friday the CIO asked for this like 15-node cluster of one of these big NoSQL databases, and I've been having to deal with this all week. And I think I can spell one here, but it doesn't. I don't have HD Insight, so bummer.
Yeah, my biggest complaint about working on the SQL Server team and not working with open source stuff like Hadoop is that we don't get to use drunken pachyderms as our logos. I mean, if we could have like the inebriated green koala
as the logo. Or really goofy software names. Like, why can't SQL Server 2014 be like Squoop?
Or you got Pig.
Pig.
Yeah. That's why they don't let me work in marketing.
That's what happens to open source companies. People like you work in marketing.
I've talked to the marketing folks for SQL Azure, and I have suggested that instead of calling it cloud computing, we rebrand it as silver lining computing. Because you don't look at the cloud, you look at the silver lining, right? And for some reason, my badge doesn't work in building 25 anymore.
Okay, I was able to play Hadoop. Let's see what my score is. Ooh, I'm up to 32.
32, huh?
Well, your unnamed competitor has some catching up to do.
Yes, unnamed now. Okay, speaking of clouds, there is a certain word, right, that we use in the Microsoft world to describe the cloud
product.
Oh,
yeah, I'm presenting on that at PASS, but I can't remember it. But you need a Z, and like you never get a Z tile.
Oh, add that one.
I know.
Yeah.
If I had a Z, this would work, right? Mm. You know? Okay, let's see what I can do here. Like Aguar, can we change the name?
That's or be like wet computing. Aguar.
He can't get in the marketing building anymore. So yeah, I think we're stuck.
No, I'd like to really rebrand this. I have an idea, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shoot.
I'm not looking.
Pretend that's an R. So we don't have an undo button. This is the one problem. Okay, but can I stand between me
Joe,
and
what
Joey?
Is that?
Yes,
what is that interesting thing? What?
Oh, it's a fleur-de-lis. So I'm a native of New Orleans.
Is that a fleur-de-lis or a trefoil?
It's a fleur-de-lis. See, I have them on my cufflinks.
Did you like take those from there?
Yeah.
From this perspective, they actually look like they're the same size. I'm not sure what she's doing, but
I think it's illegal. I'm sure it ties to the grand NFL conspiracy with the bounty scandal against the Saints last year.
NFL?
Yeah, National Football League.
Oh shoot!
You know, when I was growing up, my Sundays were punctuated by my brother and father screaming at the television for 8 hours in a row while I watched Doctor Who on PBS. So
nice.
I'm afraid that I don't get the NFL references.
The Saints were a victim of a grand conspiracy last year. That's all that happened.
And they lost the World Series
by
a goal.
Yeah, because their manager couldn't be here all year because he was suspended.
Let's see if we can find that.
Their manager?
Coach. I was joking.
Oh, okay.
Change that one to an R. We'll just leave the two. So,
what?
It's a good thing that this is a BI audience and not a hardcore SQL audience, because you just used a graphical tool.
You get the idea.
Oh, you found a Z.
I did.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to show you something that just popped up on my screen.
Sorry. Did I score?
Well,
yet?
Did you at least
I
win?
I gotta do my score. Hold on. I gotta score this. Take that.
Hold on. Let me go back to that screen. Wow, cheating really pays off.
So apparently,
did we show yours? Did I get it up there? Did they see your?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got lost on the switching back and forth thing.
So apparently, the SQL family is like a dysfunctional, abusive family.
Well, you know,
we are database people.
It's a family. Okay. So whose screen are we showing now? And I got lost. Who's who?
I think you're number five.
All right. Okay. So that's how this works. And let's kind of take a peek under the covers and see what's really going on there. So we have two RDLs in this. So who does reporting services in here, just to kind of get an idea? So about a quarter of the people.
Who writes T-SQL?
More folks than that.
Notice who didn't raise her hand.
I win at something.
Okay. All right. So basically what happens in the first RDL, we set up the game. We decide, you know, there's going to be two players, one person starts. There's a thing in reporting services where it can look at the login of the person that started the game. And so we just populate the player ID with that user's login. And it also updates a table and says, okay, I have a new player here. Then as the stored procedure executes, there's a stored procedure called new game here there that Joey's going to talk about in just a moment, that basically every time this report is opened, runs this, first time populates with the first player, second time it gets executed by somebody else, it inserts another record so you can see exactly examples of the before and after. And so depending upon the state, whether there's one player or two players determines which label displays on the report. If there's only one opponent, it will continue to display the refresh. Once we actually get another player, then it will say click to play against the person that's been assigned.
So the stored procedure, new game, reporting services, like Stacia mentioned, she's presenting the front end layer. And when she clicks that box, we're executing a stored procedure in SQL Server. If you're the first player, it just inserts a new record into a matchup table and initializes the grid. The grid sets up our multipliers, and I'm not sure, you can see the multiplier there. We have triple and double letter word scores. And then when the second player comes in, it gets the opponent from that matchup table and sets the game on. And it loads seven tiles for each player. And we'll pay attention to the seven tiles. We'll talk a little bit more later. We have this other stored procedure called load tiles, and it finds the maximum tile ID that's in use. We just have a table of tile IDs for the game.
That's the one you saw me manipulate?
Yeah, manipulating. And it
right now we obviously preloaded that with a certain set of tiles so that we could produce the words that you saw. But we have this idea of growing this game, evolving it over time, and so where we'd actually have a random generator to do something a little bit more legitimate.
Yeah, so it counts the current player's tiles, and then it uses a variable, the number of tiles needed to get back to seven, and then it inserts those back into the player tiles table, so we have seven. Or maybe you can add four more tiles to yourself next time when you cheat.
I think about that. Because what I'm using under the covers is a matrix for that tile tray. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter how many. It'll just continue to expand however many letters that are actually in my set. So you've just given me a new idea. Okay. So when we're on that first page determining whether we're going to continue into a game or not, what's happening is there are actions in reporting services where you click on something, you can make something happen. You can jump to a URL, you can jump to another spot in the report, or you can open another report. In the case of the refresh, we're just, which is on the left here, we're actually calling the same report over and over again, and we're passing in parameters to check that we've already been assigned a game ID, and we're just looking to see, is there another player yet? Is there another player yet? Whereas once it detects that there is another player, then it displays the click link, and then in that case, we actually go ahead and open up the separate report, the game RDL. Now, the game RDL has several data sets in it. One of them is responsible for populating the grid. So you can see in the upper left here, this is a matrix where we have the X and Y coordinates. And we're tracking what tiles are there, we're tracking which tiles have been placed by which player, what multiplier types have been there. So that's where we get the blue or the pink for the triple versus the double scores. We're also, each time we execute this report, we're running a game score procedure.
Store procedure.
Thank you. You know, those things that T-SQL people do.
Yeah.
And we're just checking
the score. What does all the work for the game.
Yes. But we make it look pretty over on the presentation layer side. So we score this when appropriate, and also the tiles that lay out for each player is a separate store procedure as well. So even though that doesn't look like a matrix, it actually is, what we have is the row groups have been squeezed down to a very tiny little spot, so we only really have column groups being displayed for each of our tiles as columns. And then you can see kind of the rendered version here. Now, we've made it a 9x9 grid hard-coded into the store procedure, but it could be something that we parameterize to say, do we want a smaller game, larger game surface? And then our store procedure would populate, create the grids, the XY coordinates applicable to the size board that we've created, and then we're off and running and playing.
So this way, if you're playing on the plane
while
the boarding door was still open, you could start a game with like a 4x4 grid and not get yelled at.
Or after 10,000 feet.
Yes, so it all depends. But we do need connectivity because we are each using our own browsers here to provide that. So it's something else to think about, the inline version. Now, when we first started this game, we were working off of one monitor and switching off. And so we actually had a little expression up there to hide tile. So it would be a toggleable item where we could hide or show the tile so that the other person moved into place to play their tiles. We weren't showing what the other person was looking at. So basically, as we click, each cell in that matrix has an action associated with it. So if I'm going to select a tile and pull it out of my tray and put it into the grid, we have an action associated with that. We're calling the same report, but we're selecting the specific tile ID. And there's also a position. So each position in that tray has a unique number to it. So it knows if I had multiple A's, for example, which A did I select? And then it removes that from my, that action runs the report again, which says, hey, she clicked on a tile. We need to remove that from the tray versus the placement of clicking in the grid, of placing that tile on the board, then says, well, which XY coordinate did I place and which tile had I just selected? So this information, we're basically running this report over and over and over and over again, and we're changing the state of tile selection or tile placement, whether we've scored or not scored and so forth, each time that we click there.
And then lastly, the stored procedure game turn, like Stacia was saying, it takes that X and Y info, it updates the grid, and updates player tiles. It deletes the tiles that were used, so if you use them in the grid, it recognized that, and there's also a log of the location in the grid of the tile and the value of the tile. And it calls a stored proc, and that's what calculates the score, and in turn loads the new tiles for the next hand. Similarly, turn score gets the player's current score, and the cool thing is, since we had the sequence identifier of where it was, we can do things like check to see if I added on to a word or overlapped a word or maybe changed a value of a character. Oh, wait, no, that's the audit thing. So we sum the tiles based on game ID. We could have multiple concurrent games. The data architecture is suited for that.
And are you guys going to be releasing this on CodePlex or otherwise making it available to the community?
Because we're waiting for the HTML5 rendering and reporting services.
Now it's our fault. and sadly, the HTML5 standard doesn't include a cheat tag, or at least not yet. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to deliver that full end-to-end experience.
I have you covered after Stacia finishes.
Yeah, we've talked about adding in some trash talk parameters in there so that we could actually be, you know, communicating with each other during the game. So essentially, basically, the refresh buttons and the score buttons are determining whether or not we're actually doing a score, because you can see after I place things, then Joey's browser isn't updated with the latest and greatest, and we haven't quite figured out how to get that rendering going. So we can refresh and say, just reload everything and don't score, or we want to actually score. So we have a bug in there of, like, you push score multiple times, you could, like, increase your score.
And no,
that's
one
another
would do
way
that,
to cheat.
Yeah. So since the captain has closed the forward boarding door, and Casper is getting ready to come out and do the pre-flight announcement. Do you guys want to, is there a summary or a general lesson takeaway for this? Because I have come up with two what I believe are stunningly awesome takeaways, both for myself and for my audience, or the audience.
Well, as a former database administrator, mine is when I'm playing games with Stacia, use audit.
So is it SOX compliant? wow, that's I felt bad as soon as I said that.
Yeah.
But the thing that I see here is that the things that you can do with reporting services, this is awesome. You know, using the expressions, using the actions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious that as an enterprise reporting tool, it was never designed for this type of application, right. Mm-hmm. But it really speaks volumes for the capabilities that are built into the tools and the platform. Also, I remember back before I had kids, I had time to do things like this, too. So
there is business value, though. I mean, we did get asked the very first time that I presented this. They were like, well, what can I do with this? And the key takeaway that I think that's here is that you can take user interaction and take it and go back to your database with this. Don't think of reporting services as simply being, you know, a pushing information at you, but you can actually be taking actions from the users or information from the users and taking it back into your applications that way. So, for example, we had a client where they needed to add comments to a cube, for example, and be able to load that up and gather that from the user at runtime and push it back into a cube.
Well,
so there we go.
That is awesome. You have convinced me to join SQL Family on
awesome.
Twitter.
And, yeah. That's what the queen of SQL Family does.
Perhaps you'll have a chance to cheat playing against me at Words with SQL Family before too long. So thank you very much. There's two there. Throw one of them back. Audit him. And there. So we'll... Oh, yeah. And we have Chuck and Alan in the back who are taking advantage of the people who didn't take advantage of the advice early on. that was an awesome catch, sir. Or block, as the case may be. There. All right, so I would like to also welcome Casper. I am not going to try to pronounce his last name. I'm going to have a mental block on that for the longest time. So Casper is a program manager on the SQL Server Analysis Services team. So he's been working. I'm out of breath.
My name is Casper Dion.
My name is
Is it on?
It sounds like it's on.
Okay. My name is Casper de Jong. I'm a program manager on the analysis services team. I'm a data geek. I love Power Pivot. I love DAX. I love MDX. I love building cubes. And I moved to Microsoft, to USA, Redmond, 2.5 years ago from Europe, the Netherlands. Ever since I came here, I have one big problem. I hate snakes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no one can understand what you're saying.
No. Thank you. I hate snakes. And ever since I come here, I've come across them all over the place. Even when I go on vacations, places like Egypt, where I come across snakes. Voodoo tours, I come across snakes everywhere.
That was last night, was it?
That was last night. And even at work, people like Matthew just throw around snakes with me.
This is from our latest team morale event.
Yeah.
I suggested skydiving or paintball, and they said that would be too much for some members of the team, but snake handling won.
Yes. So what I want to make sure of is that wherever I'm going to go next, there are no snakes. So I'm going to use our tools to make sure that wherever I'm going, there are no snakes. So what I've done is
Do we actually have disclosure to talk about the next generation of SQL Server snake eradication services, or SSSAS? Yeah.
Okay. So what I have here is I went online, I was searching, and I found this website. It's about exotic animal incidents from Born Free USA. It's just a website you can find them all available online. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use this data to figure out where are the snakes. So what I'm using is Excel 2013 with one of our new add-ins called Data Explorer, mm-hmm. where I can use, it's really downloadable online. You can download it and install in your Excel either 2010 or 2013. I also want to give it a heads up. Directly after this, there's a session with one of our coworkers, Faisal, in a different room about Data Explorer.
And while you're queuing up the demo, I want to give a shout out to Data Explorer as well. Even though we're here to have fun, we're not here to learn. And what Casper is showing off in Data Explorer is its ability to pull in data from a web page, this unstructured data, but to still have a reliable, repeatable, in Excel, user-driven ETL process. The opportunities and the scenarios for using Data Explorer with real-world, meaningful enterprise data are significant. So if you do have a chance to go to Faisal's session after this one, definitely do it. This is significant capabilities moving forward.
Yes. So what I have here is I went to the Data Explorer. I said, from web page, import this URL. So I'm press OK. It's going to connect to the web page. It's actually going to turn the HTML that we just saw into an actual table. So now I have an actual table here. I need to do some stuff here because in the actual table you see this is a date and an enter and then a San Diego. So I need to get the same type of information in my model. What I'm going to do is split the columns. I'm going to use the first 12 split the columns by number of characters. I'm going to split by the first 12. It automatically splits it up. It automatically recognizes this as a date. Here I'm going to do transform trim it. Here we see San Diego, California. I'm going to split it again by the limiter. It's a comma. Press OK. And now we have different columns. It just pulled it in directly from the web, directly into Data Explorer.
If I get too close to Data Explorer, it makes that noise. It's a very high energy tool. Hopefully it won't happen to you in production.
And it keeps all the steps that I've been doing just now, because I have one problem. As you can see right now, this only contains 20 rows. But if you go back in here, it actually has 622 rows. So it's per page. So it's next, it's paging and paging. I'm going to skip a little bit through this, but there is a way in Data Explorer, because everything is in steps and in functions. I can create a function out of it and call that. So what I'm going to do here is I've opened up a second workbook. I'm going to close Data Explorer
this
here.
This is a workbook that he made earlier. It's been in the oven at 350 degrees for the last 20 minutes. It's now golden brown on top. We'll be able to take it out and show us the finished results.
So what I've created here is a function, a filter function, and this is the same steps that we had before, but now I have turned it into code that actually takes a parameter called page. And this parameter called page is being pushed into here as a parameter to the web page. So now I'm going to use a secondary page to actually call this into this function, and execute this function multiple times in a secondary page here, where I'm going to say, and you see all the results here. But this one has a simple function that says, combine the table 30 times, execute query 1. So this will execute 30 times the function that I had before and push all this information directly into Data Explorer. And of course, I'm working the analysis services team. I want to push it down to the underlying Power Pivot model, which is also integrated inside Excel in 2013. So what I have here is the Power Pivot model. And let's go ahead and look at the data. Where are all the snakes in the US? So what I want, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use another add-in, which is just released. It's called GeoFlow. And GeoFlow is also a free add-in that can be downloaded.
Has anybody seen GeoFlow before today? Okay. If you haven't, be sure to say ooh and ah when you see it.
So what I have here is plotted all the cities that we just had directly into the map. What I want to do is I want to make a heat map out of it. So here we see all the snakes, and we can see the concentration of all the snakes. You already see a few big spots. You see here, you see New York, of course, and Florida, but uh-oh. And this is not faked. And let's switch the team so that we can actually see where it is.
Look at the size of that. Oh, that's a river.
So what you see is a big concentration of all the snakes is actually in the middle of New Orleans, and this is very close by to where we are now. So this makes me feel very uncomfortable. So what is it actually? What are the events that were happening here? Well, we can actually see that as well. I'm going to move it back into a column chart, and I'm going to add descriptions to the category. I'm going to cluster it. Now we can see what's going on here.
Did you guys see that giant column walking back from the bars last night? I think that I saw that too. I thought it was just me, but there it is.
So there's a police on the lookout for poisonous snakes around here, 6-foot snakes in a residential area, 10 baby alligators stolen. But the most interesting thing that I found here is, who has seen this guy? A 30-year-old male bicyclist was stopped for carrying an alligator on his shoulder. Just there. Around the corner here. And this is not fake data. This is real. The pythons. But one thing that worries me, you see a lot of actions here. One thing that worries me is here. I mean, this is where I chose to live now. Snakes in Bellevue, where we all live in Microsoft. So this makes me very, very, very worrisome. One thing that I do want to make sure of as well is we see things like snakes and alligators. But I don't mind alligators that much. I mean, I'm Pacific Northwest, we don't have alligators. So what I want to do is I want to exclude those from the result set. And of course, for those of you who know me, I'm going to use some DAX expressions to figure that out. So I'm going to close this down. I'm going to go back into Power Pivot. And what I have in my Excel is a table of all the things that I care about. If any of the descriptions contain snake, boa, python, cobra, snakes, or anacondas, I don't want to be near there. So what I've done is loaded this into Power Pivot, into a table, and I'm going to use a DAX formula, which I already have here, to add this a column that looks at the values of they're actually snakes. I won't go into too much details what the measure actually does, but what I can do is press Enter, and now it'll automatically return to me where all the snakes are. And uh-oh, what's going on now? Oh no, it's a snake game.
So there's
the snakes take
we
over.
Have snakes for you and snakes for you. We have snakes for everyone.
and actually works. Game over. And all right, thank you very much.
And which version of Power Pivot should we expect to see?
This is a special Excel 2013 snake version.
Okay, the snake edition.
Edition.
SE stands for snake edition,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So why doesn't Peter come up and the rest of you guys come grab some T-shirts? I know that there are still people without T-shirts, but that sounds wrong even as I say it. There are still people who have not yet been hit with t-shirts in this room. We are in New Orleans, but we don't have any beads. So there's some of these guys. So one of the things that we do want to point out is that there may be a few t-shirts left over at the end of the hour. If you do not have, and this is a big projectile, take one, pass it on. If you don't have a t-shirt at the end of the hour, do come up and grab one from the box as they remain. We don't want to take them home with us because we don't have a shipping budget to get them home. And my wife says that if I give her one more BI Power Hour t-shirt, she won't wear that one either. So our final presenter is a gentleman named Peter Meyer. Peter Meyers, plural. There's actually two of him. The other one is silent. So Peter actually joined us last year for the very first time in the Power Hour. He was one of the first ever non-Microsoft team members to join us for the Power Hour. And last year, we had a theory and a theme that the world was ending. Peter actually saved the world, or at least disproved our theory, using the powers of data and data mining. You're going in a different direction today, right?
Different direction indeed. Are we getting sound in the back? Do I need to talk louder? I can't even see if there's a thumbs up down there.
They're asleep.
Okay. So we don't have a main theme. I think that's sort of expired, naturally. Mm-hmm. With the non-event that we had last year. We've been getting a lot of feedback about people, the Microsoft certifications. We're hearing that it's too hard, too difficult to book in for an exam, to actually turn up and do the exams. So Microsoft are trialing a different approach whereby we can test people's BI abilities.
Ooh, could I actually do a quick test of their BI abilities?
Yeah, go for it.
So who here has seen the deep, deep special attendee discount for the Surfaces? Anybody notice that? Who here has picked up a Surface RT? Pretty much everyone. Who here has picked up a Surface Pro? Pretty much everyone. Who here has gotten both? So it looks like most of the attendees in this BI session have actually swung both ways on the Surface.
I wondered how that was going to tie into what I just said. I'm glad that it did somehow. I thought you had something to say about this, because first position in Microsoft was Microsoft Learning.
That's right. I actually worked on the team that produces the certification and training content for SQL Server and other things. And
so how do you feel about the simplification of a process where, in mass, we can have people connect to a service and actually be assessed here in front of us?
You know, honestly, I just love the design. I've been arguing for years that our exams need more flowers, so I'm all in.
Okay, so this is an audience participation session. We don't do all the work here. You'll note that as rock stars and as speakers here, we get evaluated. It's a pretty serious deal. You should see the speaker room. It's like the tickers in the stock market going. You can see the rankings of who the speakers are and what they're scoring, and it's very, very competitive. We're going to turn it around in this session. We're going to evaluate you, and we'd like you to participate in this quiz.
So get out your phone, get out your laptop, get out whatever mobile web-enabled device that you have. Your Surface, yes, exactly.
Beautiful.
Just be aware, in most sessions, the speakers will often say, please turn off your cell phone, blah, 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 be respectful to the people around you. We're not going to say that, because honestly, we've seen the people around you, and they have not earned your respect today.
Okay, so a little bit of background. By the need to register here, you just need to go to this URL. You're going to be prompted with a single question, and that is, what role are you? Are you a DBA? Are you a BI developer? How would you classify yourself? Can someone confirm that they've got to a page yet? Yes, beautiful. So you're just going to select from the drop-down list. You're going to hit submit. What do you see when you hit submit? Okay, there's no current question. Good, because I've got a stockpile of questions here. And the way that it works is the first in with the correct answer wins.
Ooh, first in wins. This is a concurrency approach, isn't it?
You're going to test my transaction isolation skills.
Can we have deadlocks? I would like to see who from this crowd will be chosen as a victim.
There. Precisely. And also, this is really a beta delivery of this product, so I really do want feedback. Okay, so how is this all working? What you've just connected to is an ASP.NET website actually hosted in the cloud that's an Azure website connecting to a SQL Azure database.
That would be awesome.
Does it work on iPhone? It should do. It's just an ASP.NET application.
It's not on our list of supported devices. It's a nice to have, but it didn't make the cut for GA.
So let me show you what's going on in the background here. I have, let me make sure I select the right one. Nope, hold on. Oh, maybe this is the one. I've got an Excel workbook going on here. So what I'm doing is connecting to the cloud. Okay, and for some reason that's just frozen on me.
Do you have a modal dialog open on top of it?
No. Why would Excel freeze?
It hates you.
Okay.
So one of the best practices for many years for conference presentation. Did I call it?
Well, yes and no. I just can't click on it. Hold on. Keep talking.
Okay, so I'll keep delaying. I'll spin this one out. So for years, one of the best practices for conference presentations was have your demo running on your laptop or your demo machine. Don't have any external references. Don't rely on an internet connection. Even as the internet becomes ubiquitous in business and the home and so on, the show networks are often unreliable due to all of the people who are taking advantage of the unmetered connection to download things that they probably shouldn't be downloading during the conference. But with cloud computing, and I believe, Peter, you're using Windows Azure SQL database, because SQL Azure was too hard to remember. Remember, they don't let me into building 25 anymore. You're using this as the back end, so you're actually relying on external resources for this, correct?
I am indeed.
Yeah, it's risky. You're a brave man.
So let's see. I'm going to open up the PowerPivot workbook, and essentially what I've got here are three tables. So they track the questions that you're going to be asked. Let's not show you that straight away. The participants that are registering, and then the answers that you submit. And then I'm able to bring them into a single model, refresh this as the responses are being submitted through the web application, and then represent this through a PowerView report. So I'm just a little nervous now because I go to refresh my data tab, my power layout, PowerView, and I go to refresh, and it's like, okay.
PASSW0RD.
Okay, it's working. The demo gods are on our side.
So we're throwing relief at you at this point.
Okay, so thank you to 122 people in this room. What we're looking at is live data that's now being fed into my Excel workbook. What I've been able to glean from your input was not just what your role is. So we can see here that we've got a mix of, what do we got? The biggest portion of people, .NET developers coming to a BI Bauhaus.
Speaking as a .NET developer myself, you guys are handsome and intelligent for being here today.
IT managers. BI developers seem to be the smallest segment, 20 out of 122. So that's who you are. Thanks for letting us know. What we're able to glean also from the device that you're using is what browser. So what do we see here?
I didn't realize that Safari ran on Windows Phone. That's weird.
So our biggest segment happens to be Mozilla. What does that represent? Sounds like a reptile to me.
It's a fire-breathing, Japan-stomping thing.
Okay, so they're the basics. And if I just refresh it one more time, were there any stragglers coming?
Yeah, there was one left behind.
You know who you are.
Okay. So I hold the control because there's a control table in my database that turns on or off the questions and when we're ready to have you answer them. So presently everything's disabled, that's why you're seeing that no current questions. Okay, so before I enable it, and remember first in wins, we've got to test first just to see that the whole system's working. And so the first question is, all right, what's the name of Matt's cat? So I just switched across to here, and I'm going to go ahead and enable. If you reload your page.
Reload your page. No, your connection had timed out. You got
Did
a
it?
Transport error.
Execute again. Only in demo world.
Can we do it?
There we go.
Yes, we can. So this is like salt in my wounds. I had built up a significant emotional attachment to this cat over the years, and learning that that cat was actually fictional, it was a blow.
Okay, so what should happen? Did someone get the right answer?
So.
Really? Must have clocked over. Did anyone get a dancing banana? Yep. Right there in the back.
All the way in the back. So keep your hand raised, sir. We have a t-shirt on its way. If you were closer, remember we said you should sit up front? We would have chocolate for you as well, but as it is, I'm hungry.
Okay. So there's only going to be one person per question that's going to get the dancing banana. If you could provide evidence of that, there is a shirt and there's a chocolate bar for the next five.
So keep the people around you honest. If you see someone raising their hand and said, I saw the dancing banana, A, check to see if their eyes are really dilated, and B, make sure that you can see it on their device, because otherwise they're just going to get unearned candy, which seems odd.
And here's a result. So the majority of people were listening to you, Matt. Where's Matt?
He's over there.
Oh, he's with his cat. Okay, so indeed, answer D, Mr. Wiggles. And we can see a breakdown there of who were getting it right. Those .NET developers are rocking indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're ready for the real test. It starts from now. Okay, so. What are you thinking here?
Who moved my cheese? It was Mr. Wiggles. Mr. Wiggles moved my cheese.
This reminds me that I'm in Redmond from time to time, and I don't know if you've been to Redmond campus, but to me, and a visitor, it's like a maze. There's buildings, and there's actually no sequence or logical sequence to the building numbers and their actual locations. And so I feel like this mouse in a maze trying to find Matt to catch up for coffee.
Who?
You. That's me, that's you. And so here's the question. It's a bit of a toughie. I don't think we should have started with this. But
well, I can give clues if necessary. So what's the question?
Well, the question is, and you've got to reload as soon as I allow you to move on to question two, where am I going to find Matt?
So what
I'm in Redmond.
What building on Microsoft campus
what
do I
What building
work in?
Do you find so, the IIS team? Or what are you? IIS team?
No. So I want to tell just the short story. There are these rumors, these legends at Microsoft about executives all going to the Pro Club, which is the gym that we get the free membership to, and running into these executives in the locker room in the morning. And I don't want to do that, so I don't go to the Pro Club. But I do work in the same building that a lot of our senior executive staff works in. I think they're stalking me because I don't go to the gym. So if you know which room is or which building is the executive building, hopefully that'll help you solve this without needing to go to the Pro Club.
All right. Well, I'm guessing we've had enough time. Did anyone get the dancing banana? Oh!
There.
Okay, so we have a shirt, we have a chocolate for you.
So what building do I work in?
Let's see. We're going to switch across to PowerView. We're going to then update our report. So now switch across to here. I'm going to filter by question two, refresh to bring in the latest data.
You know, that is actually a relief that there's such an even distribution. If everyone knew where I worked, I would figure that either I have more stalkers than I'm aware of, or that the executives are in danger.
Well, a lot of people think you work from home, Matt.
Well, I used to, so you're obviously not keeping up on Twitter effectively, I guess.
All right, next one. I've always loved this comic.
It's rare that you see a comic that portrays you so positively.
It sort of ties in also with the Mayan sort of discussion we had last time. But we've got the situation, wheel's been invented, but not really forethought as to the problems it's going to cause. So there's a discussion going on between Og on the left and Thug on the right. And Og's there saying, well, you know, the way that you're going to learn about this problem is by using data mining. The business intelligence people in this room will know that.
So there's a time series here?
Yeah, yeah. Time series is going to then allow you to project when this will indeed become a problem. And he's then saying you need DMX. So your next question. Go for it. What does DMX stand for?
Data mining something.
Where's the dancing banana?
Oh, we've got a banana.
Are we still getting -2 people? What's happening with that number thing? Is it really negative 2, Chuck?
It did say negative 2.
Ooh. Okay, so we switch across. Question 3. A is actually, I thought, the wrong answer.
Were they fooled by data mining expressions?
Expressions, right. Yeah. Okay, this is a common trap. Okay, so it's not expressions. DMX is, in fact, an extension to SQL. So they've extended it with prediction join, with data mining functions, and that's why we call it data mining extensions.
And I can't picture anyone getting confused by the fact that in the same BI tools, we have MDX for multi-dimensional expressions, and then we have DMX, which is data mining extensions.
And of course,
I don't think any of these guys will find this confusing at all.
Okay, we're ready for the next one. Do you think they passed their certification at this point?
Mm. Ooh, it's the world's best data movement tool. Look at that.
Right, it's also the old version of it.
It's satisfying.
I haven't updated to the new, very classy. Have you seen the Visual Studio 2012? Business intelligence designers. It's gone very goth.
Yeah, Matt actually showed this off in his demo. He was using the 2012 designer. I had argued that instead of having the black icon on top of the gray or slate background, that for the latest release for all of the BI tools, we should actually have black icons on a black background. they don't let me into product planning meetings anymore either.
Okay, so these guys are ready for the question. And the question is, there's an odd one out. One of these doesn't quite fit. When it comes to deduplicating data within the data flow itself, go for it. Which one's the odd one out?
Which one can't?
Cannot deduplicate data in the data flow.
Oh. I feel like we should have some trademark music playing.
And I'm guessing there's a dancing banana somewhere in the room. Come on, where is he?
Oh, we have a hand in the middle. Keep your hand up, sir, because Alan isn't looking at you yet. And sir, sitting next to the sir, can you verify that he does indeed have a dancing banana?
You can hold it up.
All righty.
How would you describe this SQL chocolate?
Probably domestic American milk chocolate, maybe 18 to 20% cacao.
I'm actually thinking of the marketing rationale.
I'm sorry. It's scalable. I'm not sure. Oh, get the latest updates. Nope. It's delicious.
All right, so what do we see here? Question number 4. Evenly distributed almost.
Well, this is one of the things that could often throw you for a loop because data quality services does include both cleansing and matching capabilities. But in SQL Server 2012, inside the data flow, we expose cleansing only, not matching.
Right. So the correct answer is what?
It's the DQS cleansing transform.
Number 8. Right. You'd think DQS cleansing would do. It has matching policies, but it's only on the client you can do it.
Yep.
Not within the data flow pipeline itself.
And that's an important thing to know when you're choosing the right tool for removing duplicates.
Okay, where do we go to next? Oh, yeah.
X.
That's where we go. SQL Server code names. Microsoft like to talk in codes. And so the challenge for you here is to think back to a code name that defined an upcoming release of SQL Server. And this is the release where we saw Power Pivot delivered.
Yep. So Power Pivot was originally introduced as an Excel add-in for Excel 2010 in the SQL Server 2008 R2 release, right?
Right.
So SQL Server 2008 R2.
Are you ready to reload? Go for it. Where's the dancing banana? Don't be shy.
This may be the hardest question in the quiz, says the guy who hasn't seen all of the questions in the quiz.
Did I actually run that? Are you guys answering the question? Where's the banana? Don't be shy.
Has anyone answered and not gotten it? Has anyone answered and gotten the banana?
Do you have the banana?
Is anyone afraid to admit that they have a dancing banana?
We can look up your IP address. Well, you're traceable.
I see that we've fallen into a classic communication and classic marketing mistake. We admitted that we had domestic chocolate. So for the purposes of time, do we want to see what the results are?
Absolutely. Well, I thought we would find that dancing banana one way or the other. Number 6. SQL Server code name. People were going for Denali.
Ah, they're just living in Denali.
Recent memory.
Denali was SQL Server 2012, I'm afraid.
So the answer was?
Kilimanjaro. KJ was our code name for SQL Server 2008 R2. Who? There's obviously a non-zero number of people. The gentleman in the front here?
Yeah, what's the next rank? Who got the one-off?
Say it. If it says negative two or a number at all, you have earned the most delicious chocolate that's in my hand right now.
Okay, moving on.
We've got one more question.
Oh. There we go.
All right, so I am almost ashamed to admit this. I'm trying to bring this guy back. I draw Clippy on whiteboards in meetings these days because I would love, inside analysis services or Power Pivot or whatever tool where you've got data, I would love a smiling, eyebrow-waggling paperclip to pop up and say, it looks like you're using customer data. Can I help you with that? Soon I won't have to attend any meetings anymore.
So, of course, Clippy was a crucial part of the Office product until a certain stage where he was then evicted. And so what we're asking for in this question was, what was the release of Office where we last saw Clippy as one of the features? All right, ready, reload.
Oh, you need to highlight 7, I believe.
No, I'm just losing connection. That's, whoops, uh-oh. Well, hold on. Why has it dropped my IP address?
Odds are something has changed. Yeah, so I'm not going to hypothesize on the show network configuration in front of a live audience when I'm being recorded.
Can you just remember these octets? There. Hold on, I'm just going to update the firewall. 114.211.160.
We've got 1 minute and 37 seconds remaining.
Okay.
So I would actually say that since the question has been asked, we should ask people to shout out the version. Office XP from the gentleman in the hat. Is he correct?
He is correct.
Oh, my God. Give that man a thing. And while you're giving that man a thing, do we have more chocolate?
Yes, we do.
Maybe I could get the rest of our speakers up here to come and help with projectile distribution services. Because we do have some T-shirts remaining. We have more T-shirts than time. So I would like to say thank you to Eric for the answer and the shout out. No dancing banana for you, I'm afraid, at least not in the session. And as the T-shirts are flying through the air, I would like to say thank you to everyone.